All right, and welcome to Everyone's a Critic. I'm your host, Johnny Gill, with my co-host, Sean Ellis. Sean, say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody?
All right, episode 227. We're going to recap week two basketball. We had some really, really good action. I'd have to say, like, for the most part, the games really weren't that close, but there was a lot of highlights. There were a lot of things to take away from the games, but if I'm not mistaken, every game was double digits. Really no game was close to speak of that I can remember. But, you know, it's like that sometimes. But, hey, let's start with the first game. We got Rare Breed versus We're Not Done with the 90s. Rare Breed got the win, 98-75. Lopsided game. Rare Breed jumped out on We're Not Done with the 90s fairly early and really never really looked back. Tough defeat for We're Not Done with the 90s. What I took away from that game was that, you know, the slow start from We're Not Done with the 90s, it just seemed like they tried to get it going late. And, you know, we made a run, but, you know, it was a little bit too late. I think cut the lead down to 16 or 15. And then it might have been, I want to say we cut down to 13 or 12, actually. And, you know, subs were made and, you know, guys felt like we had a rhythm. And then, you know, everything just went to hell after that. It was just I don't really blame the whole game on the substitutions. I think it was more of the start. You can't start in a hole and expect to win and climb out of it every time. I know we did that last week, the week before rather. And, you know, against a team like Rare Breed, that's just not going to work. So shout out to Rare Breed for getting the win and improving to 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, they shot the hell out of the ball, man.
They did.
I expected them to probably beat dog this game, per se. But I didn't expect them to shoot the ball that well. They shot the ball exceptionally well, and you guys just didn't recover from it. You guys see how I play better. Like you said, I think you guys got some, not necessarily chemistry issues, but more so just learning to play with each other. You know, so this is you guys' first time playing together, a lot of you guys. Some of you guys have experience playing with each other, and some of those guys, they're all moving parts. So I think everybody's learning how to play with each other, and I think that's part of the reason why you're having some of the issues that you're having. But with all that being said, you still can't get your tail kicked by 20-some points. And, you know, Rare Breed is a much better world war machine and much more prepared to play the game necessary to win. And I think you guys just aren't there yet, even though you got to win in the first week. So we'll see what happens. But again, Rare Breed with a really good start. New team to the league, and they already are at 2-0.
Yeah. Okay, next game, 8 o'clock game, we had Neighborhood Misfits versus Hip Hop and Roll. Neighborhood Misfits was able to get the win 109-89. That game really was kind of, I would say, a little bit misleading because they were able to keep the game close in the first half, but then the second half was a totally different story. It actually looked like Hip Hop and Roll was going to make a late push. I think they cut the lead to like 6 or 7 late in the third. And then, you know, really the fourth quarter was just a different tale. They just warmed down, they valued the possessions, some ill-advised shots from Hip Hop and Roll, and they just took advantage of it. They got out in transition, hit some big threes. Guys were missing assignments, in half-court setting, which is odd. One pump fake, defense broken down, and, you know, they really, really take advantage of that once they break you down. They're going to make the extra pass. They're going to make the right kick. And guys were just knocking down shots, so... not surprised that that Neighborhood Misfits was able to get the win, but in the fashion that they did, I was a little surprised with Hip Hop and Roll's new bolstered lineup.
Yeah. Again, I think that's also about chemistry too. But to be honest with you, considering all that, with them having so many new pieces, you know, it's funny to say this. They still held Neighborhood Misfits to 109 points.
Yeah.
And they've been putting up 130 and 120 for 2 seasons now. And for them to hold them to 109 points still means that Hip Hop and Roll can stop you when they need to get stopped. Now, I saw a lot of positives. Even though they had 19, they were able to score 90. That's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. Them being able to score 90 to 95 points with the defense that I'm expecting them to eventually play, I think that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. So I have high hopes for hip hop and roll. With that being said, look, you know, we talk about well-oiled machine. Neighborhood Suspicious is a well-oiled machine, and they're not going to go away. They're not going to make it easy on anybody. They're still going to kick people's ass, and it just is what it is, and they don't mind beating up on you. And then, like, it happened. It was a fair, like you said, it was kind of misleading, kind of how the game was. I feel like Neighborhood Suspicious had the game controlled the whole time, even though the game's kind of close. I still feel like they were always in control. But what happens is they do go on those runs. They run like a little 10-0, 12-0 run, and then it kind of opens the game up for them. And it happened. That's pretty much what happened. They had one of those runs. Now, it wasn't like an extended one where they go on like 19-0. But they did go. They had like a little nice little 10-0, 11-0 run, or whatever it was. And it kind of opened up the game for them a little bit. So I think with it being that, that kind of happened the way it happened, I did see a lot of positive hip hop and roll. They have a lot of new pieces. And I think with their pieces and their ability to, like I said, they were able to score 90. Now, is this because they got more possessions they scored 90, or are they capable of actually scoring 90 now? That's the thing, see. So we'll see coming up next week. So they have a nice game against you guys coming up next week. We'll really see how good, we'll know how good they are defensively. We'll see what their scoring looks like playing you guys next week. So we'll see. But
what are you getting at? What are you getting at, Sean? I feel like you're getting at something.
Well, we'll get to that when we get to okay. But I do like what I saw with the Neighborhood Misfits, though. They still look like the Neighborhood Misfits, and they're playing a stiff competition right now. They're still looking very, very good. They got the Bullets coming up next week, I think. So we'll see what happens with them.
Okay. 9 o'clock game, we had Squad 1 versus Kryptonite. Squad 1 was able to get the win, 81-71. Not really surprised about the low scoring, because you got a team that's kind of, like I say, Kryptonite's a good defensive team, and Squad 1, they can light it up at times, but they, you know, they, I think they like to play to their opponent. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kryptonite is a team that can play defense. Squad 1, they're equipped to play against a team that likes to play defense, and they play their style, so... Not surprised the game was close. They did win by double digits. But a good win nonetheless. Marcus Hall shined. A lot of guys really had pretty decent games. And they took care of business, which was the most important thing. And they are now 2-0 with a game against Lightwork next week. I expect that one to be more high scoring.
Yeah, well, I can say this, that I expected whenever Kryptonite has played in that league, they don't just lose one game. They always lose multiple games in a row. Mm-hmm. So I expect them to lose this game just on the simple fact that they've never shown me anything different than that. When they lose, they usually lose one more game. So I expect them to lose. But with them adding the piece Spoon came back, and he looked pretty good. He looked fairly healthy, and he was moving around well. He was banging. So Spoon looked pretty good, and then they added Barry to the team, which is going to be huge for them going out.
Yes, so, yes.
But I think when you add, they added a lot of strength and size to the squad with those two pickups. So they're going to be solid. But with all that being said, Squad 1 is Squad 1. They took care of business. Like you said, they can play however you want to play it. You want to play physical, let's play physical. You know what I'm saying? If you want to play, if you want to have a shootout, let's have a shootout. Mm-hmm. If you want to play a game where we shoot a lot of threes, play a game where we shoot a lot of threes. If you want to play a game where we score a lot of points on the inside, let's score a lot of points on the inside. Like, they can play it however you want to play it. And so I think they just did pretty much that. And, I mean, they look good. They did what they need to do. Have they looked great yet? No. But has anybody forced them to look great yet? I don't think so. So
right.
We'll see. With someone forces them to look great, I think they'll be able to step up to the plate and look great. So we'll see what happens.
Maybe week 5.
I'm guessing that'll be the week.
Okay.
So I'm thinking.
All right. So 10 o'clock game. We had two games going at once. We had Galactic Empire, Flint Tropics, and then we had Hollywood versus Lightwork. Sean, you were on the Hollywood Lightwork side. Can you tell me what happened in that game?
Well, Hollywood Lightwork, I mean, it was kind of an ugly game. You know, but again, I think you're playing against two physical teams, two older teams. I think Potts came in, he went out there, he scored, put the ball in the hole. You know, in Hollywood, they tried to really grind him out. It was actually a really good game at halftime. And then, you know, it's just a grinder, man. It's just kind of like a, it reminded me of an old football game where they used to say, like, 3 yards in dust. Kind of like you hand it off to your fullback and tailback.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of grind it out and grind it out and grind it out. You win the game 13-7. That's kind of what this game was like. It was kind of a grinder. And whenever somebody hit a long-range three or something, that was, like, invigorating. They kind of gave you a little extra juice. It kind of made you feel like, okay, we're about to make a run now.
Yeah.
But, again, it was just a game where I think that both teams really grinded it out. And, you know, with that, you end up getting a good game. And truth be told, Lightwork badly needs this game. Don't get me wrong. Hollywood knows how it is, how hard it is to get wins in this league. So they wanted the game as well because that would put them at 2-0. And that would be huge for them going forward because they missed the playoffs last season. So I think they missed out on an opportunity to possibly be 2-0. But Lightwork definitely needed this win to kind of keep them up with everybody else because them going falling 0-2, man, they got a whole big out of going forward. So this getting that one win was huge for them. And now they're on the same path. Now they actually game up on Hollywood. They beat them head to head. So this is it was just like I said, a huge game for them. But like I said, it was a grind them out game. Like I said, it was like a old school. I won't say 70s, but probably more 90s basketball with like the New York Knicks versus like you know the Pacers. They just in there beating each other to clothesline each other, and the game is. And, you know, early 2000s. Like people don't really talk about this, but the early 2000s, right when Jordan was getting out again. And before LeBron and that group came in, it was like 2000, 2005. They used to have playoff games. They used to be like 76 to 72. You're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like how crazy those scoring games were then at times. So that's kind of what this kind of reminded me of. Like it was one of those bang them up, beat them up. Like I wouldn't be surprised if guys went home and probably guys an episode. it just kind of like, it was kind of that kind of game. But shout out to Lightwork for getting the ring.
Well, I do that anyway, no matter what kind of game it is. All right. So the final game that was going on at 10 as well, we had the Galactic Empire versus Flint Tropics. Galactic Empire was able to get the win 65-50. Now, the score, again, is a little misleading. It looks like, you know, Galactic Empire took care of business, but it was actually a very, very close game, and they pulled away late. Before the game, you know, the guys got together for Galactic Empire, talked about, you know, what they need to do, you know what I'm saying? What kind of mentality, what kind of mindset they need to have because, you know, Sean, we both alluded to this, that, you know, that team does have talent. They didn't get overwhelmed by squad one. You know, they played fairly decent. And, you know, to that night they had an opportunity to, you know, to get a win. And that's exactly what they did. They came together. They stayed positive the majority of the game. They played the right way. The ball was hopping around and guys were playing unselfish and guys took care of business and they won the game. They stayed the course. So, you know, that took a lot of leadership and it wasn't just a lot of rah-rah and a lot of, you know, front running. Oh, you know, cause things are going well. There was a point in time where Flint Tropics made a run. They had, you know, the momentum and Galactic Empire weathered the storm and, you know, they came out on top. So kudos to them. Big win for them. Like you said, this is a league where three teams will not make it. So every win is valuable.
Absolutely. And I think, again, Flint Tropics might have dropped the ball again because they had a close one last week as well. They probably should have pulled off against you guys when they had a very little big lead in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And now they had a game again at halftime. I think Galactic Empire might have been only up 3 or 4 points. I think the Flint Tropics played well, even though they only had 50 points, but I'm telling you, watching the fourth quarter, they had an opportunity to watch. They missed like 7 free throws in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And they came at a time when they were only down 2 with like 4 minutes to go. 4 or 5 minutes ago, and they just missed like 7 free throws in a row there, and it just kind of it killed them, you know? Because at the end of the day, by looking at the score, you can tell this wasn't a game where guys going out there getting buckets. You know, Jake did his thing. He started slow, but Jake really got going like late second quarter, third. And, you know, they had an opportunity to kind of push ahead there. They couldn't, they went up there, they couldn't make a free throw. It's like 2 weeks in a row where they couldn't make free throws. So, I just think that, you know, this is a game where I think both teams needed a win, badly needed a win. And Galactic Empire found a way to get it. And this kind of probably gets them going on the up and up now, because they have a tough game coming into next week, because they have Kryptonite next week. So, you know, and Kryptonite badly needs to win. So I expect to have a really great win, a great game from Kryptonite. But Galactic Empire did enough. And shout out to, I will give Rashad, because Rashad was having some issues with players and teams, opposing players and even teammates. I would give him some credit, because with all that being said, he actually played basketball the right way. He didn't force shots. When the stats come out, it'll probably show that he probably took around 9 to 10 shots, if that. I'm pretty sure he probably had 7 or 8 assists. He actually played the game the right way. So, shout out to him playing the game the right way. And like I say, and Hodge, I mean, Hodge was really efficient. He had a really efficient game. It was able to eat. Every shot he made seemed like a big shot for them. So, I expect big things from them going forward, and I expect them to get better as they build chemistry. And hopefully, you know, Flip Tropic to really just kind of get it figured out here going down the stretch and find a way to kind of win. It's going to be difficult for them, but hopefully they can find a way to kind of really win and kind of get ahead, because they really need it right now. They really, really need it. And like I said, it's not going to get any easier, because look, they're playing Rare Breed next weekend. Rare Breed 2-0, you know. so it's just not going to get any easier. But again, if you want to make it, guess what? You got to beat people, and most likely you got to beat somebody good eventually. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to our next topic. We got Player of the Week coming up next. All right. Week 2 Player of the Week. We got 4 candidates. First from Empire, we got Hodge, D. Jones. From Neighborhood Misfits, we got Marcus Hall from Squad 1, and we got Jason from Rare Breed. Sean, all these guys had great games, but from the naked eye to me, from my vantage point, I got to go with D. Jones this week. I know it's an easy pick to pick, a candidate from Neighborhood Misfits, but I was thoroughly impressed with him. It's been a while since he's actually been in the gym hooping. Back here at Cypress, but he was lighting up from outside. He was finishing on the inside, catching lobs. It was a loud game for him. So he's going to be my pick for the Week 2 Player of the Week.
Yeah, I think just impact pack wise, just coming in the gym and looking at people, definitely D. Jones. I think Jason from Rare Breed. He's just really efficient. He shot the ball really well. It just wasn't him. I think he was kind of catalyst to almost everybody shoot the ball well from that crew. And I think, they're surprisingly 2-0 right now. And he has 2 really good wins. So I think he's kind of catalyst behind that. Hall was being Hall. He hit like a couple stupid shots. So I'm just like, only he would take that shot. And probably he was probably the only person who also would make that shot. He did Hall type things, and so I think from that crew, and not to mention Hodge game might have been the most important though, which may give him a chance to kind of win the Player of the Week, because his points and his activity were the most important to winning the game. I think that game was close until the very end when they kind of pulled away from it. Mm-hmm. But early on, every one of those baskets meant something to that team and to their success in winning that game. So with Galactic Empire being a new team, them being able to pull out wingers for the Tropics, that was huge. And I think he was a big part of it. And like I said, these games that these guys are playing are all big, because at the end of the day, we have 11 teams and only 8 will make it. Mm-hmm. 3 teams won't make it. So I think every game means something. So the better performance by the individual, the better chance of the team winning. So I think we have really 4 really good games from these guys, and I don't know, man. I'm a say Jason, but who knows? We'll see. But you can't go wrong with D. Jones, because like I said, he was the loudest. Yeah. He had the loudest game of the four, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. We got power rankings and predictions coming up next. All right, time for our week 3 power rankings. Now, the power rankings will be posted later tonight. Gonna kind of wing this one, because I'll be honest, it's still early. It's kind of hard to put together power rankings after, you know, what we saw, and then, you know, teams haven't played. The Bullets are the only team left that's only played one game. Well, Bullets and Hip Hop and Roll. So everyone hasn't played two games yet. So gonna kind of, you know, work our way around this. So I'm gonna start from the bottom to the top. At the bottom, at number 11, I gotta go with Flit Tropics. They've blown two games. In games that were winnable games. So I got to put them at the bottom. Number 10, I'm actually going to go the Bullets. No, you know what? Scratch that. No, I'm not going Bullets. I'm going Kryptonite. Virg, you're just going to have to hate me this week. I'm going Kryptonite. 0-2. They got handled week 1. Week 2, they didn't get handled per se, but they have lost both games by double digits. And they just haven't looked the best right now. This is a team that was in the finals last season, and they're already starting off 0-2. Haven't looked that great. Their schedule is going to start to loosen up a little bit, so they should, on paper, they should kind of, you know, rattle off a few wins in a row. At least that's what, you know, the narrative is. So we'll see what they do with the strength of schedule kind of going in their favor. I'll be honest with y'all. Going by Sean's metric, it's probably not going to help you in the power rankings, but it will help you in the standings. just going by his metric. Number 9, I will then go Bullets. At number 9, I think the Bullets, you know, they still have some room for improvement. I think they will be better moving forward. Number 8, I'm going to go Hip Hop and Roll. I know they lost by 20, but they did play Neighborhood Misfits, and I do like their roster. I think they'll be a lot better as well. Get well soon games coming for them. Number 7, I'm going to say we ain't done with the 90s. I think my team getting handled the way they did. I think, you know, it drops us down a peg. I think we were at number 4 last week, 3 or 4. I can't remember which one it was. But I definitely have to knock us down quite a few after that performance. Number 6, I'm going to go Galactic Empire. It wasn't an overly impressive win, but it was a win nonetheless. They haven't looked bad so far to start the season, so I'm going to move them up to number 6. Number 5, I'm going to say Hollywood. Hollywood had a tough loss, but they're off to a fast start. They look much, much better. I like their team. I think Twin has been, you know, the missing piece that they've been missing. He looks good out there, shooting the ball at a high clip. I think he's helped them quite a bit. Number 4, I'm gonna go Lightwork. I think they're right there. They're knocking on the door. They just need to string together a few more wins. I think they're gonna be very, very competitive. Number 3, I'm gonna go Rare Breed. They look really, really good. They're definitely a top 3 team, one of the better teams in the league. One of the 3 teams remaining that are undefeated. Number 2, I'm gonna go Squad 1. They still, you know, like you said, they haven't played their best game yet. I think they're still overly talented. I think they're, you know, just they're going to have to make their way through this season, and we're going to see what they have in the postseason. And at number 1, I got Neighborhood Misfits, defending champs, still undefeated. We'll see how long that streak will last. It should be interesting.
Yeah. You know, Misfits actually, so they won 10 last year. They are 2-0 this year. They have a 12-game winning streak now, so... Well, actually, more than that.
Yeah. You see, season before, they won, too. Yeah.
I think they won 4 in a row or 5 in a row. So they might be like a 17-game winning streak. So I'm pretty sure they're close to making some kind of history, actually. Because I don't know if anybody's ever won that many games. So I have to go back and look at our record books here. But I'm sure they're on pace to make some kind of history here. I must say that Kings of the North probably won, like, maybe 20 in a row or something like that. I would say they was something like that, but Yeah, Misfits are definitely right in the mix for probably set some more history here. But besides the point, I know you're doing this is disrespectful, but I'm actually put you guys, you had you guys at 7, I'm actually put y'all at 11.
with the bottom?
And then,
wow, sorry.
And I don't mean this disrespectful. I'm trying not to be disrespectful. But
it's a little late. Little late for that, man.
Yeah, you definitely got your tail handed to you last week, man. And I think you guys probably have taken the worst beating that any team has taken. So I'm gonna go with you guys at 11. and it's basically like I say, it's a week to week thing. And I'm saying this because it's just the one you lost. And you guys just never seem to really have a chance to win. Well, I don't think any other team has been looked like that as of yet. So I'm going to give you a 11.
I agree with that point.
Number 10, I'm going to play Tropic. Shoot yourself in the foot. Well enough to probably... Clint Trump's going to literally make an argument that they should be 2-0. They blew a big lead against you guys last week, a 16-point lead against you guys in the fourth quarter last week. And then, like I said, they were down 2 in the fourth week, or this past weekend, missed 7 free throws right there in the fourth quarter. So, just shooting themselves in the foot right now. And I think once they get to the part where... you know, where they can kind of, you know, just settle in and find ways to kind of finish games out, I think they'll be okay. But again, it's not going to be easier now because they're playing against a good team coming up this week. Again, well, they're playing against a good team every week. It's just, they just don't have a, there's no game where you, a get well game, unfortunately. Right. Looking at the schedule now, there's no get well game. So, I'll put them at 10. 9, I'm going with the Bullets. Again, another team smoked the game. They spoke again in Hollywood with a little lead. I saw Johnny miss some big free throws to close out that game against them last week. So they didn't play this past week. I'll definitely go with, I'm going to put them at 9. At 8, I'm going to go Kryptonite at 8. 0-2. Again, blew a big game, big lead against Rare Breed, which may turn out to be a big deal because Rare Breed looks good right now. They're 2-0. But they blew a big lead, had a meltdown in the first game of the season. Then had Squad 1 as a game to kind of make up for that. And now they're 0-2. So they got to get on the roll soon because, again, this is a season where our three guys won't make it. So. Hopefully, you know, they can kind of fix things coming up week, but I'm gonna put them at 8. 7. Go Hollywood at 7. Done some good stuff. And, you know, they could make a legit argument that they could be 2-0. They had a drag them out, tough it out game. If they would have won this past game, found a way to win this past game against Lightwork. I would think Twin would have been in the running for MVP right now if they were trying to win that this game. Because I think he's played exceptional through 2 weeks. So and I think he would have been the catalyst to a lot of that if they could start off 2-0. But definitely going to start off 1-1. With a 1-1 start, putting them at, was it 7 or 6? Or 7?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah 7. 6, I'm going to go Hip Hop and Roll. Well, actually, I'm going to Lightwork at 6. Looked ugly against first week against Neighborhood Misfits, but think they have an opportunity to really turn it around with some possible additions they'll be making. So, looking at them at 6, I expect to they should be making some noise here pretty soon. So, I'm going to go with them at 6. 5, Hip Hop and Roll. If our roles done what they need to do, in a sense of they lost that game to Misfits, but I don't necessarily think they look bad, even though I feel like Misfits carried the game. And I feel like, you know, Misfits kind of was just like a, like, you know how like a boxer, when they know they're in there with against an opponent, they feel like they could beat it any time. Mm-hmm. They jab them, they'll jab them, they'll, and they let it go about 9-10 rounds. Kind of, you know how like they would have did Conor McGregor? He kind of like, stick around for a while, then he went ahead and knock him out like in the 10th round or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, went ahead and get him out of there. It's kind of similar, something like that. But I did see a lot of flashes of, oh, okay, where they're going to have some games where they're scoring in the 60s, 70s. They're going to have some games where they're scoring in the 90s this season. So I think I like that, the hip-hop world team. And I can't believe this, but I actually got Galactic Empire at 4. Jesus Christ.
So you got us. You got us last. You got them at 4. And that's their first win. That's crazy, man. That's their first win. And they scored 65 points. Unbelievable.
But you know what? They look good in their two games. Like, I would say they look good necessarily last week, but they found a way to win against a Flint Travis team that isn't bad. And then they played squad one well up until squad one put the game away late in the fourth quarter. So, some kind of way they ended up 4, man. When I just thought, I think they're having a better, they're literally having a better season than the teams below them. I 100% believe that.
Okay.
Maybe 85% believe that. Okay. But 3, yeah, it has to be Rare Breed. You know, I was thinking about maybe putting Rare Breed in 2 because they surprised everybody, but no, it's Rare Breed in 2. I can't put them ahead of the head honcho shit.
No.
But they have a really good opportunity to go 3-0 this week. And we'll see what happens. But I mean, they've been very impressive. I think they've been so impressive that they made y'all number 11. That's how impressive they've been. Because they kicked the hell out of y'all. It shot them up to number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Rare Breed. I'll put them at 3-2. Go squad 1. They've done enough. Like I said, they played 2 different styles of games in the first 2 weeks. So and that's who they are. They can play however you want to play it, and they usually can have success playing it however you want to play it. So I put them at 2. They've been steady. I'm not going to say they look great, though. They haven't looked great. That's why I said I could see me putting like somebody ahead of them, like Rare Breed or not Galactic Empire. I definitely see probably like Rare Breed possibly getting ahead of them. And I mean, they're on a 18-game win streak. I think 17-game win streak right now. Until somebody knocks them off the throne, they won't move. They'll be at the number 1 spot. So it is a week-to-week league. I 100% believe that it is a week-to-week, especially for me. But I'm just going to let it be known now. Until someone beats them, they're going to be in that spot. I'm not going to take them out in the number 1 spot. Care how anybody else looks. Until somebody beats them, they will be in their number 1 spot.
Yeah.
I think 17 straight wins get you that.
Yeah, rightfully so. They're the defending champs as well. Okay, so for our predictions, our 7 o'clock game, we have We Are Not Done With The 90s versus Hip Hop and Roll. I'm gonna defer to you on this one. I'm not going to make a prediction on this one. Sean, what's your score for this game?
I'm going to go with, I think it'll be low scoring, actually. I'm going to go with Hip Hop and Roll, from what I've seen, 81-75 of you guys. We may have a Big Joe sighting, though, so that would help a lot against those big guys that Hip Hop and Roll has.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be huge if y'all can get that. No pun intended. but if y'all get Big Joe back with the pieces y'all have now, I think you guys can make it a good game. Unless Nick holds off for you. But I definitely see the defense that Hip Hop and Roll is capable of playing on their side. I expect them to get this win, so I'm going to go 81-75 Hip Hop and Roll.
All right, showing us some respect. I appreciate that. All right, 8 o'clock game. We got Kryptonite versus Galactic Empire. I'm going to go Kryptonite. I'll say they win. Low-scoring game again. Well, maybe not that low-scoring. I'll say it'll be in the 80s. I'll say 83-80 Kryptonite.
I'm going to go with Kryptonite's first win?
Yes.
All
Verge, get your homeboy, Verge. About to do y'all dirty. I know that laugh anywhere.
I actually like what I'm seeing from Galactic Empire.
Oh, yeah, he just liked them. See, he picked them at 4, so we should have known.
And, you know, Kryptonite's been known to, you know, lose 3 in a row. So this will put them in a deep hole.
Oh, man.
But I'm going to go Galactic Empire right here, 82-79. I think it'll be a well-played game. Galactic Empire has shown the ability to play well when it's close. So I know Verge is very confident in his squad, but I'm going to go Galactic Empire here, 82-79.
Interesting. Okay. 9 o'clock game. We got the Bullets versus Neighborhood Misfits. I'll go out on a limb and pick Neighborhood Misfits. I'm gonna say they win 103-91.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from the Bullets that would make me think that wouldn't happen. I think the Bullets would be able to be more equipped to score one a little bit more. But yeah, it's just nah. I'm gonna go definitely go Bullets here. I mean, excuse me, no. I'm definitely gonna go Neighborhood Misfits here, 95-85.
They're gonna hold another 100.
Sure, I'm gonna go 95-85.
Okay, Neighborhood Misfits. Sean trying to piss y'all off. All right, Rare Breed versus Flint Tropics. I got Rare Breed winning big. I think they cover the spread as well. I'm going to say they win. Oh, I'm going to give them a 17-point spread, but I'm going to say they win by more than that. I say they win 103-82.
You call me disrespectful,
though. Yeah. I'm telling y'all this based off what I saw them do to us.
I'm going to go 80-71 Rare Breed here. They play well. And even though I don't think the Flint Tropics have played bad, they haven't closed games. They haven't found a way to close games. So if they're able to keep it closed, I just don't see them closing the game, especially against a team that I think is confident right now more than anything else, too. Mm-hmm. I think Rare Breed is extremely confident right now. They won't blow a game against the Flint Tropics. They won't have it.
Okay, final game of the night, Squad 1 versus Lightwork. This is also going at the same time as Rare Breed and Flint Tropics. I got Squad 1 winning this game. It'll be high scoring this time, and I think they win 102-92.
Okay. I'm actually probably not DJ far from that. I'm going to say 99-95 Squad 1. But, hey, this is not a game for the week. I think Lightwork will come in ready to play. I think they know they're playing one of the top teams. And look, they've got the first three games. They got the they got Squad 1 and Neighborhood Misfits in their first 3 weeks. So I think they're going to be very balanced going down the stretch here. I'm gonna definitely go Lightwork here. I'm gonna Squad 1 here. 99-95 in a well played game, a high scoring game, like you said. But Squad 1 is just gonna have the experience, man, and the cachet in this league to where I think it's just something about their spirit and that they exhume from them when they play. They like you just kind of know that they're never out of the game. But even if Lightwork is playing well and probably has a lead, I'm still thinking that Squad 1 finds a way to win the game. So I'm going to Squad 1. 99-95.
So we both agree high scoring. I like it. All right, time to move on to our final topic of the night. We have buy or sell. Stay tuned. All right, time for our final topic of the night. We got buy or sell. Now we got two topics, one Ultimate Hoops, one NBA. Sean, buy or sell, first topic. The guys will love the new system when it's up and running. Buy or sell.
I think considering we got two situations here. I think now that the guys waited almost 2 weeks for the system to get up and running, there's probably going to be some hype behind it. Mm-hmm. So there's all just two things going to happen. They're going to absolutely hate it, or they're going to absolutely love it. One or two.
Right.
Because they've had 2 weeks to get them get their stats in. So I'm going to go. And then the thing I got to take in is we do have some guys who are older in the league. Our league is fairly young, but our league is fairly old, too. Mm-hmm. So, one thing about old people, they do not like change.
That's true. Very true.
But I am going to, by the slightest, say we're going to buy, I'm going to buy this, because it's going to be handheld. It's going to be in your hands. It's going to be on an app. So, and then it's going to give you updates every time something comes up. So, whenever there's a highlight of a play you did, it's going to pop up. Whenever there's a player of the week,
yeah,
it's going to pop up. Whenever it's going to play of the week, it's going to pop up. So you're going to be able to see all these things and keep track of all these things as they're happening a lot of time to go along with your stats. Like I said, Ultimate Hoops overall is kind of moving towards everything being online or going to be through an app. So that doesn't mean that you guys will probably – key Hall of Famers, you know, who haven't got the vote yet. All this stuff is going to go into the system as well. So the stats that are online, your all-time stats, your stats will eventually go into this app as well. You can look at all your career stats to go along with what's going on currently. So in due time, all that will be there. Like I said, we're just kind of where they're working out the glitches right now, which is why our stats haven't been put up yet. We're just working out a lot of glitches. And we're figuring out what works best and what doesn't work best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is going to be especially starting this week, we're starting to transition smoothly now. I think the staff now has a better idea how we're going to work it. We're finding camera angles that work best in the gym. And also we're finding ways to kind of get this stuff out to you guys as quick as possible. So we're not waiting a week like we've been doing. We'll be waiting no longer than about 12 to 14 hours, and you'll have all your stuff up. So this is what we're working on. And I think once it kind of, it's not the smoothest transition now, but once it kind of transitions over smoothly, hopefully in the next week or two, hopefully in the next 4 or 5 days,
yeah,
you guys will love it. But I think it's going to be like that at least this season. The guys are going to love it. I think we're going to have guys who are going to absolutely love it, and then we're going to have guys who are going to hate it because it's something completely different and it's a change. But I'm going to go with buy overall, though, because like I said, we do have enough younger guys,
right.
I think, that will probably just like it a lot better than, like I said, these old heads.
Yeah.
You know?
Millennials. We're leaning in with the millennials. There you go.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go with a buy.
Okay. I'm also going to buy it. I agree, Sean. I think, you know, the league is getting younger. I think the league there's not a whole lot of old guys. Not that I have anything against old guys, because, I mean, I guess I'm kind of considered an old head now. I don't know.
I guess I'll be an old head now, too. So
I don't know what y'all consider old, but yeah. I actually love the idea. I'm always adapting. First of all, I work in a charter school, so, you know, I got to be used to change. So, you know, that's all it is. I deal with that all the time. So I'm going to buy it as well. I'm actually familiar with apps like that, and you know, so it's not going to be anything new for me. It's not necessarily going to be anything that wows me, but I know I like it because I'm used to using that type of technology.
Right. So yeah, like I say, it's just more so about it's something new, and it's going to be something new literally for about 2 weeks for you guys. I think you guys will get pretty. And what I plan on doing is not necessarily sending out a tutorial, but I'll probably send out like a little video showing you where to go and how to get things. So just kind of get you started, and then you can start playing with it on your own to kind of figure out everything else.
Yeah.
But again, I think you guys are going to love it. I'm going to buy that. You guys will absolutely love this.
Yes, I'm buying as well. Okay, now for our second topic, we got NBA. Okay, Sean, buy or sell, Anthony Edwards has already become the new face of the NBA as some of the older guys, a.k.a. LeBron, make their way out the league. Thank goodness.
It's a young man's league. Definitely a young man's league. And, you know, the old guard has, you know, I just remember transitioning. The transition I literally remember in my lifetime, my age, from the NBA. I can't go back as far as Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell, but I can say from the time I've been alive, the transitions I remember are it going from Bird and Magic to Jordan, it going from Jordan to like Kobe, Shaq, kind of Kobe, Shaq, Allen Iverson, that generational player, and then going from like Kobe, LeBron, that kind of LeBron of that era of player. That's kind of the transition that I can just remember off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's time. It's more than due time. I think about, because, you know, LeBron came from that 2003 draft. I think he's the last remaining player. I think Melo retired in what, October?
Yeah.
September, October. So I think he was like kind of the last one kind of hanging on. And D-Wade retired 4 or 5 years ago, and LeBron's here now. So he's the last one. And Grant, I think LeBron probably played another year or two. But back to the question, do I think that Anthony Edwards is the face of the league? I'm not going to go with him yet. I'm going to say no. Even though I like him, I think the best out of all the guys. But when you start thinking about these young guys, between him, Ja Morant, Zion, and Luka, I'm going to put Joker in there as one of those young guys, too. I guess you can.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at those guys, I just think that he makes the most sense, but I think the NBA really was pushing for Zion and Ja Morant. I think those are the guys they want. Zion can stay healthy and stay in shape, and Ja Morant can't stop pulling out guns on them.
On camera.
So I think those are the guys that they want. And I think they're starting to shift more towards Luka and Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
And like even Joel Embiid to an extent. They're shifting more towards those guys now. I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna sell on Anthony Edwards being the face of the NBA yet. But I'm not gonna lie. If he finds a way to get past Denver, say get to the finals this year, hey, the hype would be unreal going into next season.
Yeah.
I think I would be wrong on selling. But let's say if he finds a way to get the defending champs out of there, and not even the finals, if he makes it to the finals this year, some kind of way, and is putting on the performances that he's been putting on, like he had 44 last night, I think I would be wrong in my assessment.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Euro guys right now. Like I said, I think they want it to be Jai and Zion, but like they had their issues. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Euro guys right now.
Okay.
That can change immediately.
Okay, I'm gonna actually buy it just by looking at the marketing. I'm seeing Anthony Edwards just about in everything. Like, it seems like every commercial we're starting to see him now. I've seen him in Sprite commercials, Bose headphones commercials. I'm seeing him literally everywhere. His shoe deal. This dude, man, and don't get me wrong, I'm an Anthony Edwards fan. Been a fan since he came in the league. I love it. You know what I'm saying? And I like everything that he really, really stands for. It's kind of what the NBA needs, because, you know, that era where, you know, the league's been friendly and guys want to be buddy-buddy, I think he's starting to bring back that old school, you know what I'm saying, he's Atlanta, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's Atlanta dude. Like, he country too. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's everything that the league needs. So I'm a big, big Anthony Edwards fan. Everything he stands for is everything that I believe in. You know what I'm saying? Compete. Stop all this friendliness. You know what I'm saying? Go at the best players. We not finna do all this teaming up stuff. But the only problem that Anthony Edwards is going to run into, this doesn't have anything to do with the topic, but he's playing against the Denver Nuggets and Karl Anthony Towns and a Rudy Gobert. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You can throw Kyle Anderson in there, too. He's played against all three of those guys. So It's eight on three most games, or 8-on-2, excuse me. When Kyle Anderson is out there, it's 8-on-2. It's tough.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you why I like him too. I like him too because of his style of play.
Right.
Like he getting away from another guy that ain't benching his face of the league, Steph Curry. He's getting away from that Steph Curry style of play. He's not out there jacking a bunch of threes. Mm-hmm. He's playing defense.
Yes.
And that's the main thing. Like, you know, he's going back to playing defense. He's running through screens.
Yep.
He's picking up guys 75 feet away from the basket.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing some stuff that's like, okay. And that's this thing I like about, I like how they play basketball now, but I hate what it does to the youth, how they play basketball.
Everybody think they can shoot threes.
Right. And, you know, just the kind of how they spread, even with the floor being spread and guys not really, you know. That's why I like the playoffs, because I feel like they're playing defense in the playoffs.
Defense is coming back. Still, yes.
Yes. Yes. It's not like the regular season you have 130, 140 point games.
In regulation.
Right. You know, the guys are actually, you know, playing defense, and you're still seeing the shot making and shot creation that you see from your star players. You're still seeing that, but guys are actually locking in and playing defense. So that's why I've kind of enjoyed these playoffs. Even though every game has been a great game, but guys are still playing defense. Even you know, like teams that are getting blown out, teams are getting blown out 105-90.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they're still playing defense, just the other team's defense was way more better, not the other team's offense was just off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that kind of goes with Anthony Edwards. I think he does that. Like, I think he brings that back a little bit. Like, we're playing. Yes, we're skilled, and we're as skilled as we've ever been, but we still locking in. We still trying to stop people. We're not giving up layups, you know. Hopefully this will translate to the All-Star games eventually, too, because the last four All-Star games have been god-awful.
Man, tell me about it.
Yes, since COVID, it's almost like we don't want to get close to guys. So, like, the All-Star games since COVID have been awful. Like, 2019, they were still kind of, they were still good. That's when they made those rule changes. And they had that one All-Star game where I think they had to play it down to the wire and somebody had to hit a game winner. I think it was around 2019.
Yeah.
But after that, shit, they've been gone awful. So, I want to get back to playing defense and at least in the second half, play a little defense in the All-Star game. But we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's some big games coming up. I know it's still kind of early, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'm gonna see I'll see if our predictions were right come Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right, episode 227 in the books. Live via cell phone. I'm Johnny Gill with Sean. We're out.